Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The dominion of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or is your eye evil because I am good?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. You'll notice that second last line, I read the actual literal translation of the Greek, ophthalmos. Maybe it's just I got eyes on the mind these days. But and the folks in those times, they believed in the evil eye, you know, that somebody felt angry or bad about something, they put the look on you. And so, is your eye evil? Because I am good, seems to me to be the better translation. That being said, would the children please come forward and help us proclaim the good news of the gospel today? Thank you all. So this morning in my confirmation class, I kind of went over some of this, and you'll notice, everyone, that the landowner, the guy who gets everybody to work, calls everybody out to work, says, "I will pay you what is right." We spent our whole class thinking about, what does that mean? What is the right pay? Some people worked all day long in the hot sun, maybe 12 hours. And then the landowner hired a few folks. They maybe worked only six. And then how long do you think those very last people worked at the end of the day? 1 hour. Good listening. It said it was 1 hour. But when... Yeah, there were others. Yeah. But when the pay came around, what did everybody get? About a day's wage. What is a day's wage?
$5.
About $5. Seems like it sometimes, right? The question is to everyone, the landowner says, "I will pay you what is right." It's hard to know exactly what is right. In our confirmation, what did we say sometimes? What? It depends on your age, maybe, or your gender, is that right? your abilities, what type of job. I mean, they had it all figured out. But now, then we read the Lord's Prayer. Think along with me, and maybe you can say along with me, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." Now here's the line, "Give us today our daily bread." Give us today our daily bread. What the pay was for a day was enough pay to have, you see, daily bread. This is, okay, this is my object lesson. Let's say, can I do this with the font? Let's just say, and the children identified that, what did people mostly eat in those days? Bread. They mostly ate bread. I was saying the Lord's Prayer doesn't say, give us today our daily vegetable. Maybe it should, but but they didn't have that many, a few fish. But so bread was basically what they lived on. And if one day's pay gave them enough bread for a day, what does everybody need? Bread. Everybody needs bread. And should everybody get a loaf of bread? Yes. What if the person who worked an hour only got one hour's worth of bread? How much would it be? Yeah, get a slice, that's right. What if you only got this to live on all day long? Would that be enough?
No.
Would that be right?
No,
it wouldn't. It wouldn't. And particularly if you had a family to feed. So Jesus in the story is saying, we should be paid enough. Enough that we can live and have life. And not only that, Jesus says, the dominion of heaven. Heaven is like this. Hallelujahs and bread. That we'll everybody will have enough to eat. So, last week, you remember, we were writing letters for Bread for the World, so everybody would have enough bread. So this is a story that's 2,000 years old, but it has a lot of meaning for us today too, that we all deserve to be fed, and we are called to feed one another. Let's gather for a prayer, if you would. We'll bring the bread. That was for dinner, but I'll bring it back, and we'll have bread and cake. O Lord, we give you thanks that you give each of us enough each day that we might live. We thank you for these children and the blessing they are to us. And we pray that they will always have enough in their lives. And we pray that you would open our hearts that we might feed those who are in need in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. I'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Amen. So I've been trying to think about how to relate this lesson to kind of the ongoing issues of our day, particularly in our city, but also nationally speaking. And the children really raised it, especially in my confirmation class, when we talked about what is right pay. What is right behavior? How should we be treating each other? And first of all, they did identify, well, how we often get paid. Well, sometimes it's by age. Young folks don't get paid a whole lot. Sometimes it's by virtue of what the type of work you do or how long you work, expertise. But then they thought, some people get paid differently because of gender. And some people get paid differently because of race or ethnicity. Very, very sharp. And I think that's that understanding, that issue is at work in a lot of what we're trying to come to grips with in our city. So here's a news piece that's stuck in my mind for probably a half dozen years now. Maybe you might have heard of it a number of years ago, but it strikes me as a modern analogy to our story this morning of the vineyard. And by the way, the vineyard is always an image of Israel. So it was a story about how an individual landowner ought to behave toward his laborers, but it also really is more of a national statement. This is how our society should be working, is what the parable is trying to say. So here's a modern analogy that came to my mind. See what you think. Several years ago, there was a prospective law student wanted to get into the University of Michigan, but he was placed on a waiting list, and he did not gain admission. So he sued the university. Now, he was challenging the university's use of affirmative action, claiming that he was unfairly treated in the university and, in fact, the society's effort to balance out opportunities, payment chances for minorities. Now, his problem wasn't, kind of like the first workers, his problem wasn't that he wasn't going to be admitted to a law school. You know, if he was going to probably that close to Michigan, he was going to get into a good school. He was going to have a good life. He was going to have a good career. But his problem was he didn't get what he expected, what he thought he deserved, what he wanted. So my question is, was the applicant's eye evil because of the generosity of the university and the affirmative action program that sought in some minor ways to address decades, even centuries of discrimination that has not only institutionalized unequal opportunity, but has in a lot of cases ensured that there are no opportunities? Could not this person have taken what was his, certainly a placement in a very good school, which would have provided him a good career, a good life, provided for his family? He'd have been able to be a productive citizen and support his folks. Or should he spend a few years in the legal system grumbling about the generosity or unfairness of the community? So, our parable this morning is generally known as the parable of the generous landowner, sometimes the parable of the good employer. Recently, maybe you could say a wag, or maybe an insightful person said it has been described as the parable of the affirmative action employer. And remember that Jesus starts this whole thing out. The realm, the dominion of heaven is like this. It is like a landowner who pays in this way. We could say then the dominion of heaven is like an affirmative action employer. Think about it. So is this story about the character of God, or is it about how we could organize society to reflect God's character and community? Perhaps both, hopefully. In the dominion of heaven, it says at the very end, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. But notice that in the story, this reversal of order does not mean that the first lose what they need. We spent in confirmation class our whole hour talking about what is the right payment. And we went through all of those different things. How long you work, what the job was. Finally, we lit on, is it need? Is it that everybody at least gets a loaf of bread so that they might live? That we have enough. Everyone deserves enough. I think that's part of what's saying. So first becomes last becomes first doesn't mean that, well, there's just a new order and some get a whole bunch more than others. It means there's really kind of, we're erasing the distinguishing features of first and last, but that at least everyone gets enough, so that those who worked the live long day did not lose what they needed. They had their daily bread. They had enough to support their family. But it also meant that the last as well had enough. Both receive enough. They receive adequate amounts to sustain life. And they all receive an opportunity to work, to be productive. Wouldn't this parable give a new perspective on the America First model? In God's realm, first and last become irrelevant terms. Life and opportunities for life are given to all. Not the same for all, but enough for all. That life is promoted for all. That's God's intention. It's really a reflection of creation itself. And I think if we think about Jonah long enough, it probably is reflected in the Jonah story as well. God's mercy for life is for all people, even those that have been doing badly if they ask for forgiveness. So can we think about, this is my real question now, can we think about this reversal motif in the context of our current reality, both locally and nationally? So while the current demonstrations in our town are not directly about employment, they are about life. Is life denied or taken to some or from some? The dominion of heaven is like a society in which the first become last and the last first. Jesus offers this parable. Remember, the vineyard is Israel. Jesus offers this parable because he is challenging the social organization of the whole society. And he kind of is doing it subtly enough that the Romans don't come down on him immediately, but he's challenging them as well. The prevailing social organization. And he asserts that this challenge is consistent with God's will and heart. The realm of God is like this. This is a challenge of our own society. I think it's the underlying message of the demonstrations. To undo the violence and sin of racism, the first become last, the last become first. Again, this is not a call for a new hierarchy with blacks on top, whites on the bottom, but rather a dismantling of a hierarchy of prejudice in which economic and judicial and police systems are not structured anymore toward violence against minorities, in which opportunities for work and life become available to all. This parable and our historical situation present us with this reality. The sad legacy of slavery and racism, the hierarchy and inequality which is engendered, needs to be persistently addressed. It's kind of like last week's sermon about, we kind of have to work in this forgiveness motif throughout. In my view, it is now as it has always been, given the way we structured our country from the beginning, our destiny and our calling to deal with this, which is often called our original sin, racism and slavery. The hopeful truth is God's attitude toward us, God's gift of life and love and forgiveness manifest in the person of Jesus the Christ empowers us to a new way of life. For now we get to the evil eye. The evil eye of society has fallen upon Jesus, whether it's a national eye or all of us individually. It has done its worst. Jesus has become the last of all on the cross. But rising in forgiveness and the promise of life to all, he puts the lie, not to orderly life, but to any hierarchical model which demeans and denies life to others. But as he says to his disciples, so Jesus says to each of us and all of us today as the community of Christ, it shall not be so among you. Remember how the disciples,
who's going to be first and who's going to be greatest.
It shall not be so among you, Jesus says to us, among you who are called, forgiven, and redeemed into a new reality through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. We are paid with the promise of life, and we are called, as the children instruct us, to write our letters, to pay enough, to embrace enough. The realm of God is like this. We could say the realm of God is like an affirmative action employer, or the realm of God is like a child who understands that we are all called to give to those what they need for life. Amen.